Our next speaker is Dr. Gary Jensen. And Gary currently serves as the National Program Leader for Aquaculture in the newly named National Institute for Food and Agriculture of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, with mission areas in research, education, and extension, and federal partner with land-grant universities and colleges nationwide. He held aquaculture positions at three universities prior to joining the Department of Agriculture in 1990. He has worked on long- and short-term aquaculture development projects in North Africa and Latin America, chaired the external evaluation panel of the U.S. Agency for International Development's Aquaculture Collaborative Research and Support Program, and was a U.S. Peace Corps volunteer in Central America. He is also the Federal Program Manager for Aquaculture Research and Extension Grants and five regional aquaculture centers that serve as models for collaborative and integrated farmer research and extension projects. He has received numerous awards and recognition from industry associations, professional societies, and the Department of Agriculture. And also, it's worthwhile to remark that this is his 40th year of working in the field of aquaculture. So please join me in welcoming Gary Jensen to talk about improving knowledge, information, research, extension, and communication in aquaculture.
I really want to start out with an observation, and that is, as I look out into the audience, it is truly impressive to witness the broad global representation and wealth of knowledge and experience at this forum. We will all certainly leave smarter and wiser with a larger circle of new colleagues who will serve us well into the future. Now, good afternoon. It is indeed a great pleasure and privilege to introduce Theme 5, titled Improving Knowledge, Information, Research, Extension, and Communication on Aquaculture. These topics are clearly driving aquaculture into a modern era with a broad range of scientific discoveries, practical information, widespread use of information and communication tools, and high-impact farmer education and technology transfer. Please take a minute and review the four expert panels that are under this theme. These two panels will be held this afternoon, and these other two panels will be held tomorrow morning. I wish to begin with some creativity by reframing the presentation title to emphasize the importance of integration and synergy across research, extension, and information and communication technologies. These create and support what I am calling knowledge systems. Continued solutions to increasingly complex challenges will be driven by knowledge-intensive strategies. Knowledge systems span global to local scales and vary widely in depth and quality. As current and emerging issues span into ecosystem services, genetic biodiversity, marketing complexities, climate change, biotechnology, and more, few, if any, single program, institution, or country has the depth of expertise and resources for such undertakings. Global challenges require a global community response across functions, sciences, sectors, technologies, and innovations. I've broken down the knowledge systems into the following elements that I will briefly summarize. They represent the people, infrastructures, tools, and technologies that will help drive and direct future development. To set the stage, it is important to appreciate the wide range of production scales, food energy efficiencies, and culture environments. When these factors are combined with several hundred aquatic species and growing in number, the menu of diversity is unchallenged by any other sector in animal agriculture today. This broad spectrum of development scales creates dynamic opportunities for more innovation with economic and social benefits around the world, and also new challenges to any knowledge system. But before I focus on the specific elements, the cornerstone that is common to all is people making a difference. Human resources development for core competencies underpins advancing technological changes to meet the world's challenges for food and poverty reduction. Public value is correlated to the quality, depth, and scope of knowledge base and its productivity. Effective knowledge systems originate from a highly motivated and competent workforce in all sectors of development. New generations of scientists, educators, and entrepreneurs are needed to push new frontiers in intensive sustainable productivity. However, investments are essential to provide needed infrastructures and tools for purpose-driven programs and scientifically valid and highly relevant research endeavors. Today, science knowledge is increasing exponentially to improve our understanding of biological systems and living aquatic organisms in new discoveries and questions. Two streams of research, basic and applied, are interdependent. Basic research usually has higher cost for fundamental and molecular level projects with broader applicability and longer lasting spillover effects. Applied research is lower economy of scale with more immediate impacts by location or population. Funds can be directed to specific problems or issues, often with stakeholder input, or to stimulate researcher-led, high-risk, high-potential, pioneering investigations. The following several slides list some thoughts on improving research. Today, the complexity of many challenges requires a larger-scale, holistic perspective at the system level. This means stepping out of the box with broader disciplinary research teams and new partnerships that expand intellectual capacities and combine comparative advantages across different programs. There should be focus on using science to improve practices, not just doing science. Social sciences tools are becoming increasingly important to understand the socioeconomic dimension of effective development strategies. Business and trade associations can be development partners with new synergies across science and business fields. Some cross-cutting policy issues span global technology development, regional applications, and local systems intensification, such as human nutrition, food safety, and gender. These can be included when designing new projects. Pre- and post-harvest research should align with preferred product attributes for target markets. Products need to create value to consumers. Consumer preferences drive the evolution of all food industries. Knowledge of technology development and deployment costs is essential to evaluate the scale and feasibility of potential application. A technology may be too costly for practical use or have insignificant benefit. Case study research is common in business, law, and sociology to assess relationships between successes and failures and lessons learned for improvements. They can be informative for priority issues in aquaculture as well. Time is a critical dimension in solving costly problems and of utmost concern to farmers suffering economic losses. Programs should respond to this sense of urgency. Changes in practice for most independent-minded farmers is not easy. Field demonstrations with physical evidence of improvements can be convincing to many farmers. Connecting centers of excellence and advanced expertise with international collaborators can accelerate the diffusion of innovation. Technology transfer exchanges among farmers and academia can facilitate resource-efficient local adaptations and new novel networks. Public-private sector partnerships can be effective incubators to test proof of concepts for bringing new technologies or products into markets. All benefit from sharing facilities, equipment, and expertise. Some areas of research, such as feeds and tools, move to commercialization more efficiently when aligned with private business realities. Many universities and private entities offer strong capacity for global partnerships and benefits. Cooperative research with farmers involves sharing risks, but can create legitimacy and credibility. Cooperating farmers develop ownership and trust. They can also gain an important understanding of research methods and its transferability. This partnership can also validate assumptions that, if incorrect, can lead to failures. One important development goal is science-based policies, developed with scientific evidence and not substituted by debate on ideologies. The mobilization and integration of scientific expertise into policy formulations can represent the current state of knowledge and economic achievability. However, policies are often time sensitive, and science is a continuum of inquiry. Poor policies not only impede development opportunities, but also undervalue public benefits from research and development investments. Some research involves new treatments with potential human food safety risks. They may be regulated or trigger trade implications. Knowing these factors is critical for bringing new safe treatments on food products into consumer markets. New online search capabilities, databases, and access to public-funded projects facilitate assessing the current state of science to efficiently advance the knowledge base with new discoveries and minimum duplication. Many projects report outputs or activities about ongoing work. More reporting is needed on qualitative and quantitative outcomes. What happened as a result of a project? Outside reviews of programs or large projects can address specific questions or assess improvements in relevancy, quality, and performance with forward-looking perspectives. They can result in new strategic directions or reprioritizing programs in both research and extension. Often farmer knowledge from observations and continuous trial and error learning and ingenuity are not carefully considered when planning farmer-targeted research. Farmer experience can validate by systematic research studies. Participatory models can check realities of scale, level of risk tolerance, socioeconomic conditions, and market factors. They can also balance uneven services for smallholder farms. Identifying farmer priority needs can help direct limited resources to solving the most critical problems that reduce risks. Resources may be redirected from low to high priority needs for cost-effective resources management on demand-driven problems. Integrated solutions is an approach to take full advantage of research and extension expertise in problem solving. If science to practice is the goal, then effective partnerships with an extension function can create desired outcomes in farms and communities. Two-way communication is vital. Unidirectional flow from research to extension to farmers is evolving to more bidirectional collaborations and feedback loops on farmer needs and research responses. Extension can be more flexible with the integration of local factors rather than strict transfer of fixed answers from research. Community-based approaches can verify that proposed solutions to problems are in fact appropriate. There are numerous successful models and innovative approaches. However, collaboration should begin at the inception of planning rather than a fragmented afterthought. Integrated projects are often more complex to manage, but provide a faster track for broader diffusion and application of new knowledge. There is a proliferation of published material in a growing number of scientific journals in many fields of science. A real challenge is monitoring, translating, and synthesizing research findings that have relevance for practical application on farms. I mention this topic briefly because most farmers have no awareness or time, inability to assess potential on-farm benefits from published scientific research. More online publications and search capabilities can help identify topics of interest. However, extra steps are needed for most farmers and businesses to capitalize on the vast base of published science knowledge. Let's put some attention to the extension enterprise. Extension and outreach are both important, but also different and at times confused. Extension involves sustained interaction with targeted audiences using educational techniques to transfer science-based information or skills that inform decision-making or change behavior. Outreach activities build awareness, develop relationships, and promote new educational products or research. Outreach is not exclusive to extension. It is engagement conducted by a wide range of programs, including many researchers. Today, there are many providers, and extension should excel as a preferred, unbiased source. Extension is a professional field of study with specific curricula and training for developing expertise. Similar to scholarly research studies, there is increasing emphasis in scholarship for extension. There are journals devoted solely to extension community research and reporting on new practices, tools, and techniques. The Journal of Extension is an electronic publication in the United States. Electronic, or e-extension, is an innovative internet platform of educational and information resources available to solve real-life problems in real time, supported by expert communities of practice across multiple university extension programs. A new community of practice in freshwater aquaculture is under development in the United States. One should seek progressive professional development and new knowledge on effective extension methods and adult learning and mentoring opportunities as well. There are numerous critical elements for an effective extension program. Competency in aquaculture-related sciences is important to develop and deliver science-based education programs. Science-based is the hallmark of extension education. Extension draws upon credible research findings that may come from local to international sources. Because issues facing extension are so diverse and beyond the expertise of any single person, consultative networks of extension colleagues and research communities are invaluable to fill knowledge gaps. Resources and assets limit the reach and impact of extension programs. New programs should be created and defended to provide high-impact educational value to targeted constituents. There are many options to perform an extension function. The choice of delivery options can impact the richness or level of detail and depth that each person receives, and how many people are benefited by planned programs or information. Credible knowledge is powerful and can level the playing field with real economic, social, and economic value. Extension can facilitate the participation of the silent voices of underserved and underrepresented groups to improve livelihoods. NGOs and private entities may also provide critical extension functions in some areas to fill gaps in educational needs. Some services may be related to business interests or supported by producer associations. Extension is often asked to educate the public about aquaculture, to combat misinformation and confuse consumers. With so many information providers today, this really is not an easy task. As new advanced technologies enter the field, extension needs to be informed to be effective in helping to realize practical applications in farms and businesses. Beginning farmers need the basics of proven practices to get started, and many programs can serve this role. More experienced farmers and mature industries have higher level needs that often require recruiting new expertise into extension programs or a strong partnership with the required field of research. Extension gains credibility and trust by being responsive to crises, emerging issues, and caring about targeted communities. For example, the need is increasing for practical translation and actions on new policies that can impact management practices or enabling farmers to meet new market requirements. More cost-effective information and communication technologies have proliferated worldwide and reached new levels and scales of connectivity. It is amazing for global information to be delivered daily to your personal computer today. They offer more virtual internet-based opportunities for reporting, learning, planning, and so much more. These advances are closing the digital divide with broader global access to information, assistance, and networks. Innovative uses link farmers to timely sources of reliable information and can be as simple as text messaging, news, or alerts. Real value has to outweigh the cost for acceptance. Information and communication technology is an enabler that puts information into people's hands for empowerment and innovative applications. Technologies continuously innovate into new platforms and services for increasing economic and social value. More internet-supported courses are being offered for students worldwide, and as well, online training options to reach distance learners. The sheer volume of knowledge generation and data has created new challenges for effective knowledge management and new fields of research. Some new online projects match suppliers with local interested buyers for direct marketing and premium prices. New devices and applications will continue to evolve and connect new users in new ways across the world. Geographic Information System Technology, or GIS, remote sensing and mapping, can support sustainable development goals. Widespread use of these tools is impeded by limited awareness of benefits and lack of access and experience on how they can be deployed. These powerful tools are becoming more aligned to real-world conditions and practical applications in predictive modeling and forecasting. More training and application cases with satellite imagery and GIS technology can result in broader benefits. New processes, methods, and tools for larger landscape analysis and monitoring can be used by policymakers and natural resource planners for localized development. Many public research and extension programs are supported by the recognition for productivity that translates into political capital, meaning public funding among many competing interests. programs can benefit by developing and reporting on measurable outcomes associated with priorities that are important to societies, policymakers, or donor assistance programs. Scientists can use powerful modeling tools to estimate economic and social benefits that reach beyond the farm into upstream and downstream value chains such as public health and human nutrition. Aquaculture can benefit by more local to national stories of successes and accomplishments that showcase the broader benefits of farming the waters for people and food. We need to know where we are, where we want to go, and finally, how do we know when we arrive? It is simply, what is the story and told to whom? In closing, and returning to the conference theme of farming the waters for people and food, network knowledge systems level the playing field for sustainable and orderly development. Research, extension, and information and communication technologies are powerful mechanisms that must address several dimensions of sustainable aquaculture at once, not fragmented. More complex grand challenges in a changing and connected world will require the power of innovation, commitment to lead change, and bold imagination to chart the course for future growth and sustainable development. The community of vested stakeholders is increasing with new forces, questions, and challenges. What questions we can ask today will help us prepare for the future. Diverse aquaculture sectors will continue to follow unique trajectories of development with increasing dependence on effective knowledge systems. Lastly, I thank the conference organizers and sponsors for this rare global scale knowledge system forum.
Thanks, Gary. And we've got a few minutes to entertain some questions.
I thought it was pretty clear myself, but.
Yogi.
Okay. Yeah, I have a question on Yogi Carlsfield on privatization of knowledge. I think it's not so long ago that we've heard about knowledge-based economies, and you know how knowledge is a secret to your future riches. And I think you know there's a variety of universities, for example, that work on that basis as well, where you control the flow of knowledge so that you can make income out of it. And I think you're promoting the idea that there's a free transfer of knowledge, which is a key element to, you know, sort of uniform growth. Can you comment on what the current status is of that sort of difference, or is it?
Well, what I'm saying is that I work for the federal government and for a granting agency, and all of the grants that we make awards to, all of the reports on those grants is available online. The information is transparent. So the federal government is really developing a much, much stronger position in making sure that the public has access to public-funded research, whether it's in USDA or National Institutes of Health. This is a really new priority within our new administration. But when you talk about the proprietary side, we also have some grants that go to small businesses. And those businesses, of course, you know, they're looking to take proofs of concept and commercialize new products and new technologies. In their case, that information is more proprietary, and it needs to be because basically we're trying to provide monies to really look to new commercialized products that can actually enter the marketplace. And so in that case, the information is more proprietary. Universities, as to how they work with the private sector, how they are involved in entrepreneurism, that's between the university, scientists, work with private sector. There's so many different, if you want to call it, models of collaboration. But like I say, the publicly funded research, that information is available online and available to the public.
Gary, I'd like to ask David Little from University of Stirling. I think a lot of scientists really would relish the chance of working with practitioners more. But I think there are real barriers to that in the way that scientists are motivated and rewarded. Certainly this is the case in the UK. I wondered if you have any thoughts on that. I think almost everything you said rings true, but I think there are real barriers to people being able to do it because they don't get kudos or they don't get supported.
Yeah.
They may just not get promotion, putting it frankly. What are your thoughts on that, how that could change?
You bring up a good point, David, and in reality, even within our land-grant universities, if you take a look at the metrics that are important for promotion and tenure, they really are based on how much money you bring in. They're based on your articles and refereed scientific journals. But I will also say that at those universities that do have a land-grant mission and they have a constituency in aquaculture, believe me, those folks who have extension appointments and research appointments, they work very closely with industry. They are their constituents. And I think what is forgotten in the discussion is that in many cases, so many people would not have their jobs if it was not for the fact that there's an industry. But you're right. I mean, there really are kind of some cross currents between what I'm talking about and the way the university rewards their faculty in promotion and tenure. But like I say, those programs that have a strong constituency, there really is a very, very close partnership. But if you have a university where you've got a few aquaculture farmers, that's really not much of a draw. So I think it really varies a lot on the concentration of an industry within a state. And believe me, those universities are very responsive in those situations.
Curtis Jolly from Auburn University.
And where are you from now?
Auburn.
Oh, okay.
I just want to add to what you're saying and to clarify something you have said. At Auburn University and most land-grant universities now, we begin to develop metrics for extension and outreach so that professors who participate in outreach and extension activities can be promoted for their contribution. And we encourage them to publish in extension journals and also to provide the number of hits or individuals accessing the information they provide to them. So they have to report on their target groups, how wide their target groups are, and how many hits they're getting per year or per individual publication.
That's a good point, Curtis.
Doris Soto from FAO. I don't know if maybe you mentioned, but I'm not so sure, the issue of the language, because translating information on technologies, on science, on practices to local languages is a major bottleneck. And it is also a bottleneck when science is done in developing countries because mostly scientists are forced to publish in English.
Right.
So sometimes this
becomes
an important bottleneck.
Right. Yeah, I did point that out in the slide, Doris, but you're absolutely right. But I even think that even, for example, within the United States, where we're talking about English as a language, and a lot of information published in English journals, I think that there really still is a real challenge for farmers and companies to really gain more value out of just vast amount of information in scientific journals. It's a real challenge for somebody to really do a review of that type of scientific information and identify, you know, what are those gold nuggets that have application on farms and translate that into practices that could be considered or adapted on farms. There's really, in my mind, there's really a gap there because the researchers, for the most part, I mean, you know, once they get their article published, they can check it off the list. They're finished. And then the extension folks, they've got so much work to do, there's a gap in there. But yet we're talking about the value of science and the investments in science, and it needs to be beyond just the science. We have to find ways to bridge that science into more application. It's a real challenge.
Peter Edwards from the Asian Institute of Technology. It's Extension's had a bad name for many years as being more or less a one-way street.
Yep.
And this is particularly the case if you're dealing with poorly educated farmers, especially in developing countries, and this issue of language. I mean, it's not just a matter of developing technology in stations and then sending it to the farms.
Absolutely.
And hoping they're going to be able to pick it up.
Absolutely.
I mean, you mentioned it should be demand-driven. I mean, the scientists need to get out of their ivory towers and get onto the farms and find out what the issues are, the real issues, rather than just within the narrow speciality they learned in
Absolutely.
A university, maybe on a different continent.
Absolutely.
So many developing country scientists now get PhDs in the UK and Europe and America and Australia, and they go back to their own countries and they're totally out of touch with what's happening in that. So they need to get out in the field. I mean, this doesn't apply to everybody, of course, but it is an issue. And scientists in particular need to go into the real world, talk to farmers, find out what the issues are, and work with farmers in a participatory mode to develop an appropriate technology. And once the appropriate technology has been developed, this is now coming back to extension, this has got to be field tested with farmers, not only the technology, but you need to field test the extension material to see if the farmers understand it. It's not just language, it's concepts. Farmers don't understand graphs and histograms. So we went through long, complicated research projects at AIT in Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, Northeast Thailand, developing extension materials through numerous iterations with farmers.
Yeah.
And it's a long, complicated process.
It is, Peter.
And as you mentioned, it's not just a single discipline. I'm a fish nutritionist.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to work in teams.
Absolutely.
Social and natural scientists.
Yeah.
As well as extension and information specialists. It becomes very complicated to put these teams together, and let me tell you, it's hell managing them, because academics are the worst in the world. Talk about prima donnas, all right? Hmm? Very difficult, but it has to be done if we're going to really address these issues.
Yeah, I agree, Peter. I think really it really takes some really highly motivated researchers to step out of their box. And the situation is that for a lot of them, they don't have to take the steps. And so I think that really is the interesting part of this, is that, again, like in the United States, in those states where there's a very strong voice from industry and farmers, those researchers are actively engaged with their constituency, because that is really an important part of what they need to do. I will also say that a growing problem is finding extramural research dollars that support applied research on farms. That is another issue that I didn't talk about.
So we've got two more questions.
Yeah, this is Gabriel from Minister of Fisheries and Marine Resources in Namibia. I just add Professor Edwards' the comments or compliments. As I understand, the extension is one of the development tools for the capacity building for the some specific target groups. I think something's missing in your recommendation as well. For the developing world, I think we have to have very cautiously to take into consideration training need assessment. So whatever you take some initiatives for the extension materials development and field tested, the Professor Edward mentioned. So beforehand, then you have to think about the what kind of training actually needs for the specific target groups, like a farmer's level, some extension worker, some TOT for the trainer level. So I think it's the most important and crucial to step forward for the to develop this kind of initiatives. And I think you can take the consideration this well. Thank you.
I appreciate that. It really is a challenge to put together a presentation for 25 minutes that covers all these subjects, but very, very good points. Thank you.
Senator De Silva, NACA. Gary, I was very happy that you mentioned as an important facet farmer-farmer exchanges. And I thought I'll tell this audience one of our experiences. And in my 35 years of engagement in aquaculture, one of the best things we have done, in my view, was when we took some Vietnamese catfish farmers to India to see the organization of the Indian shrimp farmers, the cluster formations, how they work. And I went in with the farmers, and you couldn't believe how quickly the cultural barriers broke down. Yeah. And they were communicating in sign language in every form that they could. And they took home a very effective message back to Vietnam to organize the catfish farmers.
Thank you. I wish we had more monies to really support kind of what I would call technology transfer teams. If you can imagine where there's one country that has some real specialized expertise and advanced knowledge in one particular area, and you can put together a team that really is composed of farmers, people from industry, people from academia, and really support that they do this technology transfer activity. And even if it's a couple weeks or even a month, I think sometimes we could really accelerate and advance our technology infusion by using that approach rather than oftentimes trying to invent or recreate something that already exists.
Okay. Thank you once again, Gary, for stimulating discussion.